The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday of Lent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ so loved us and delivered himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or a covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becomes saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. But because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in Christ. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breasts that nursed thee.' But he said, 'Blessed rather are they who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, There will be catechism class this morning for the children that you expect to make their first Holy Communion. Please be advised that these children have to come to catechism class if you expect them to make their first communion. At the same time, I do also urge you that you do what you have to do and what you are able to do at home in teaching these children the true and correct doctrine, the true and correct catechism, so that they will know what it is that they are about when they approach the communion rail for the first time in their lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. My beloved people, actually today is not really an easy day to single out a sermon, because that we are faced today with three totally important feast days, three totally important occasions. Today actually is the feast of Saint Joseph, but March the 19th. But since it happens to be a Sunday, and during Lent, the Sundays of Lent will allow no feast day to take over. So the feast has to be transferred to the following day, which of course is tomorrow. So tomorrow we celebrate the feast of Saint Joseph. On Tuesday, the day following, for us here in our monastery, is the feast of the great Saint Benedict. For us, he is the Father. For us, he is the Father of many things, which we will address ourselves to slightly in just a moment. Then on Saturday of this week is the Feast of the Annunciation. Perhaps I should take that up first before I go into the other two. That, of course, being the more important of all of the three occasions. The Annunciation of our Blessed Mother. Now, we know we're not here referring, of course, to the death and burial and resurrection of our Blessed Lord. We know how and position that is. Aside from that, we can safely say that the Feast of the Annunciation is a central point in history. It is the turning point of all things. As you recall, when all of this happened in the Garden of Eden, God promised the coming of a woman. That woman had arrived. Unknown, humble, actually a young person, very young, according to our standards. But that makes no difference when God selects one. When the grace of God enters into one, things happen. The angel appeared to her and asked of her an extraordinarily unusual question and an extraordinarily unusual request. Don't you know that heaven the angels of heaven must have been holding their breaths at that precise moment when that question was asked of this young lady. Will you do it? And you can imagine how heaven was breathless in waiting. And they waited. And finally, this young lady, this young girl, answered in her words, I will do it. Of all the words that have ever been spoken on earth, put together, of all the force that has ever been exerted on earth, all of it put together from the beginning and yet to come, those words, as we translate them into I will do it, contained in them more power and more force and more energy and more determination than everything put together so far on this earth. And the very foundation of hell was rocked by the words of that young lady, I will do it. And she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Imagine such words coming from a little child, a young child, I should say young child, according to our standards anyway. But as I said a moment ago, when the grace of God is in you, you need not fear of what you will be apt to do or say. And this child, I will magnify, that my soul doth magnify the Lord. What wonderful, wonderful words are those. And yet you will say, well, are those not the word of pride, that I am going to magnify the Lord? There are three people that we're talking about this morning. Blessed Mother, of course. And tomorrow, St. Joseph, her spouse. And the next day, St. Benedict, our father. And we focus our attention this morning primarily on just those three. We will not look at all the others, which could very easily fall into the same category, very easily, and do fall into the same category. But let us concentrate only on those three. What was the one common bond that existed, that tied these three individual souls very tightly together? The bond of humility. My beloved people, regardless of whatever, Almighty God, the Creator of all things, only looks for and finds his abode in the hearts of the humble. He doesn't bother to go to seek his abode in any other heart. If humility is not there, then you can safely say that God is not there. I think it would be safe to say that. Of course God wants that soul, but God cannot, God is unable to overcome a proud soul. It was once said by a saint, I'm at the moment unable to recall who, but this is what he said. Almighty God has had less trouble, had less difficulty in creating the entire universe, man included. God had less trouble in creating the entire universe than he has trouble in conquering one proud man. That's a pretty strong statement. And the reason he gave for that was this, that in creating the universe, God had no resistance. But in a proud man, the only thing that God is met with is resistance, because the proud man is unconquerable. Saint Joseph, who we celebrate tomorrow, was an example of humility. Here was this man, selected to be the protector, the teacher, the advisor, the instructor, the foster father of the divine child. What teacher has there ever been to equal this one teacher? And yet, he was so insignificant in the eyes of those around him that the best they could say for him is that he, the carpenter, was this man here not the son of the carpenter? His name was not even that well known. And as far as his silence goes, and lest I forget, yes, there were some things the Blessed Mother said, but there were few indeed, and but yet in their fewness, they were so powerful. But Saint Joseph, there is not one single solitary word recorded that this man had to speak. And yet, he was called upon, as all of you know, to do the most unbelievable things and to accept the most unbelievable things imaginable. And yet, in his silence, he obeyed God. And the Blessed Mother, in her silence, she obeyed God. Saint Benedict also, and he is referred to as blessed both in grace and in name. Yes, Saint Benedict wrote the rule, a significantly important document that goes throughout ages and ages and ages in directing man and directing government and directing all of us. Saint Benedict was a silent man. He was a humble man. And so you see, silence and humility go with prayer. We're going to talk a little bit more about prayer in days to come. We are going to be interrupted now that the holy days are approaching. And what has to be said about prayer and what is necessary to be said about it, I would rather do it where it suffers no interruption. We've talked much about prayer, but there's ever so much more to be said about prayer. These three, Mary, Joseph, and Benedict, they were not just prayerful men and women. They were man and woman of prayer, completely dedicated to prayer, completely dedicated to the Spirit. Not, as we have said in the past, it was not a question of dedicating themselves to just words, 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 as so many of us are prone to think and to believe that we could dedicate ourselves to things to say. To be a man of prayer, to be a woman of prayer, prayer has to be central in your lives, in our lives. And with these three, you know well enough that prayer had to be extremely central. So central, when we read Scripture, and we contemplate on our blessed Lord after his resurrection, there were some pretty detailed descriptions given about our Lord's appearance to the different ones after his resurrection. There is not even reference made to our Lord's appearance to his mother. That appearance had to be so sacred, so divine, so utterly magnificent that words would cheapen it. And besides, what took place between him and her is none of our business. Now, why do I mention that? Though we cannot hope, certainly, to reach that level, but just the two of them coming together had to be a moment of the most exalted prayer that has ever taken place on this earth. A prayer of silent and complete adoration. And this is what we need to strive for. My beloved people, as I said, we cannot hope to achieve this, but we should strive, never ending in our strife, to overcome, to reach this, and to have it as closely as possible within our spirit. The union between you and Jesus Christ must be so wonderful and as perfect as we can make it, that it has to remain silent and unspeakable. This is what we must strive for. Jesus, or rather Mary, Joseph, and Benedict were exemplars of this kind of union that I refer to. How often have we spoken of Nazareth? Don't worry about me getting hoarse. That's normal for the time. It doesn't hurt. I just get hoarse. Don't feel sorry for me. I forgot what I was going to say. But whatever it was, my beloved people, the union that must exist between us and our beloved Savior has to be totally spiritual, totally silent, and totally humble. God cannot possibly find any room in a heart that is proud or has any pride at all within it. So therefore, as we now approach mid-Lent, which will be next Sunday is Rose Sunday, the intensification of Lent will become much more evident. And our promise of penance and prayer and mortification, let us go back to that, to those, and see what repair they need for us to complete Lent. Remember what we always say, what have I given to my God for all that he has given to me? This is what we must answer if we truly love God. The Blessed Mother at Nazareth, the Blessed Mother at Nazareth, Saint Joseph at Nazareth gave the answer. Therefore, let us go to them to find out. And we have both of them coming in front of us right away in rapid succession, Mary and Joseph. Let us learn from them what is expected of those of us. And let us always ask ourselves the question, how well would I fit into the atmosphere of Nazareth if I should decide to go and live 1 week with them in that house? What would it be like? What would I have to give up? What would I have to do? What would I have to be? What would I have to say? What would I have to think? How must I act? 1 week in the house of Nazareth. My beloved people, these are holy days, and the holier days are on their way. Let us prepare ourselves for those very holy days.